Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. This is Monday, November 4th, 2024. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on the bottom of page 56, the fifth paragraph beginning with, Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. Ending with, God had restored his sanity on the next page. Today's readers are Susan G., the 12 steps, Stephanie R., the 12 traditions, and our big book readers are Craig F. in the text, Chanel T. on page 164, and Tamara C. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Suzanne W., and our second hour moderator is Ann A. And due to a technical glitch, there is no share ID for Sunday, November 3rd, 2024, sadly. All right, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. This 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Stephanie R., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Here are our 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related entity or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on the bottom of page 56, the fifth paragraph, beginning with, thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place, reading through God had restored his sanity on the next page. I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading.
Thanks, Rick. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. No later vicissitude had shaken it. His alcoholic problem was taken away. That very night, years ago, it disappeared. Save for a few brief moments of temptation, the thought of drink has never returned. And at such times, a great revulsion has risen up in him. Seemingly, he could not drink, even if he would. God had restored his sanity. Well, of course, we're continuing here with, continuing to talk about our Southern friend, whose story can be found in the back of the book. And it's kind of an inspiring thing to read this sudden upheaval, this sudden spiritual experience that he had. And that it's inspiring, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, and it isn't my experience. You know, I don't know too many people whose experience has been this dramatic and sudden that haven't had to make several, and sometimes several hundred, it seems, dry runs before they really finally get to this point of total surrender, where they get this spiritual experience, where this upheaval and rearrangement that he's talking about occurs in this program. I don't know who that is. And I can look at this and I can take disappointment or discouragement from it if I choose to. I could look at it and say, you know, what, doesn't God love me as much as he did this guy? You know, or I can look at it and say, what is in my attitude? What is in my in my personality? What's in me that's keeping me? Because I think this gift is right there for all of us. But I had to clear away a lot of my. I had to clear away a lot of my problems. I continue to have to clear away a lot of my resistance, my selfishness, my self-centeredness, in order to find this contact with this higher power that will heal me and bless me the way that this guy was healed and blessed. God restored him to sanity, but he was ready for God to restore him to sanity. He surrendered for God to restore him to sanity. You know, I got stuck in my first step experiences for a while, and sometimes it was discouraging. It gets discouraging. Sometimes I was ready to give up, and sometimes gave up ever getting there, but. In retrospect, it wasn't God. I know God was there all the time, ready to,
remind
ready
us.
To give me. Thank you. Ready to give me this. I wasn't ready. I hadn't let go. I still thought I had power, and with that, I pass.
Well, thanks so much for getting us started, Craig. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name, first initial, to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today? I'm sorry, who was that?
Tanya D.
Tanya D. Gotcha, Tanya.
Robin
L.
Bonnie B.
Okay, Bonnie
Lisa
B.
B.
And I, okay, Lisa B. Was there a Robin?
Yes.
What was the first initial of your last name?
NWH.
Gotcha, Kim.
Donna K, Ohio.
Sandy, Florida.
Sandy?
Yes.
Justin C.
Okay, Washington.
Okay, who is that from Washington?
Chanel T.
Gotcha, Chanel.
Donna K.
Who is that, Kay?
Donna Kay from Ohio.
Well, I've got you, Donna. Okay, so, all right, guys, here's who I have so far, and I missed a couple people, I think, but I'm going to try to sort that out in a minute. I've got Tanya D. I have Robin, not sure the first initial or last name, Bonnie B., Lisa B., Ken W.H., Donna Kay, Sandy, didn't get the first initial, and Chanel T., Was there, and it seems like I heard another gentleman besides Ken W.H., but I didn't get that name. Is if you've already given me your name once and I didn't call it out, could you tell it to me now, please?
Justin C., North Carolina.
There we go, Justin. Okay. Is that Justin T.? Okay. Well, we'll sort this out when we go through our names and you introduce yourselves. All right, so, excuse me, guys. So please include your first name, first initial, last, and where you are calling from when you introduce yourselves. Tanya D., you're up first, followed by Robin. Go ahead, Tanya.
Hi, this is Tanya D., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. Thank you for reading. And yeah, this story always struck me as, you know, very appealing. Like I want, you know, this kind of spiritual awakening. And like the previous speaker, it was not my experience. And I'm convinced that I have the kinds of experiences that I need to have, because I know exactly what would happen if I had had the kind of spiritual awakening that this guy did at the beginning of program. I would have said, I'm cured, you know, great. This is never going to be a problem again, and left. And, you know, what this story is implicitly admitting is that this guy still had to continue to do the work after he had this spiritual experience. You know, for some of us, like, the spiritual experience comes after we've done a lot of work. And for some of us, you know, I like I said, I think we have the kind of spiritual experiences that we need to have. Like, maybe it comes at the beginning, but the work still has to happen. And so I'm really glad for the slow spiritual awakening that I had, because it kept me coming back. Like, if I felt like everything's great, I've got God now, like, I don't think I would have stuck around. Same thing, I had a similar experience with, like, weight loss. You know, I needed to lose weight, and it didn't happen for the first 6 months of abstinence. And in retrospect, really grateful for that, because my ego needed to be reduced. And I think I also, if it had just been like, okay, here I'm abstinent, I've got God, lost weight, like, I really don't think I would have stuck around. So I think, you know, the kinds of experiences that I have keep me humble. And the good news is that the results of a gradual spiritual awakening are also the same. You know, I find that I do not have any cravings for food, like this guy doesn't have for alcohol. And if it ever, you know, maybe like once a year, if I start finding myself too obsessed, like I do recoil from it, which is a real miracle considering how much food obsession I had before. And yeah, and I also don't need to, of course, like, put down, like, I think it is whatever it is. And like, I'm here for the journey. I don't get to decide what kind of spiritual awakening I have, or even what kind of experiences I have in program. That's how I think about it. I show up and do the work, and my higher power takes care of the rest. Thanks for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
All right. Thanks so much, Tanya. Could you remind us where state you're calling from, please?
I'm from Illinois.
All right. Gotcha. All right, Robin, you're up next, followed by Bonnie B. And Robin, if you could include your first initial and state, I'd appreciate it.
Good morning. My name is Robin L. I'm from Connecticut. And when I read this paragraph, what came to my mind is, for me, this is a promise that once I do the work, that it will, the compulsion, the obsession will be taken from me, and that problem will be taken away, that I will no longer crave food, I will no longer be obsessed with food, and my spiritual awakening will happen for me. So it gives me hope that if it could happen for this person, it can also happen for me. And it is a miracle. It's a gift. And like I said, it gives me hope that this can happen for me. I've been a chronic relapser, and I'm in recovery now. And my hope is that I will not pick up again as long as I continue with my spiritual practices to enhance that spiritual relationship. So those were my thoughts this morning. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Robin L. from Connecticut. Bonnie B., you're up next, followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Rick, and for the share so far. excuse me. I'm Bonnie B., located in Florida, and compulsive overeater. Yeah, when I came into the program, I wanted to be the guy that we're listening to, or that we're talking about in this paragraph. I wanted to be the guy that got the blue ribbon, that went through it once, and like so many other things in my life, like, manned up and thought, I can do this. And that has not been my experience. I'm going through the steps again. Oh my word, so grateful. Have an amazing sponsor who is just, you know, pressing me in different areas and causing me to go a little deeper and ask some harder questions, and all of it is is with the gift of, for today, restored sanity. In this area, the definition of insanity is a state of the mind that prevents normal perception. I want to control everything. I would tell you I don't, but I do. I want to control all the circumstances in my life. I want to control what's going on with our children, our finances, the Florida stuff. I can't. And unfortunately, all roads lead back to my thinking, and my thinking is not healthy thinking when it comes to the area of control. And so I'm so grateful that the majority of the people that I speak with on a daily basis, it isn't their experience. Because if I had come in and everyone had said, oh yeah, I got that, I did it once and I was done, I would have thought I didn't fit yet again. But that's not what I hear. I hear that most of us do learn via the educational experience, and that if we continue to seek God, if I continue to seek God, He does show up second by second, day by day, and everything plays out exactly as it's supposed to play out. It might not play out the way I wanted it to play out, and if I'm honest, like one of the previous shares had said, why did I want to get the Blue Ribbon Award? Because of ego, pride, and this keeps me in a place of humility. There's a whole lot of things I think I know, and in the end, there's way more that I don't know. But, this is my mantra, sort of. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's the God that I serve today. And by His grace, I am sane in my thinking today and grateful beyond words. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and blessings to all of you.
Well, thanks, Bonnie B. from Florida. Lisa B., you're up next, followed by Ken W.H. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the state of South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. Oh, such an amazing reading, and I thank you for all the shares. Cornerstone in the big book. And that word vicissitude, I don't know if I'm saying it right. I had to look it up. It means a change of circumstances. So he's saying that no later change of circumstances has shaken his foundation of step two, belief through hope. And I can definitely identify with that. Yes, life can be very challenging and difficult. And, to be in the food and in problems is like a double problem. But to have abstinence and a recovered state of mind and spirit and problems, it's much better, much more doable. And, I like that word on page 57, God had restored, which means back to the original. And, actually, I didn't really want to be restored back to my original state, because I truly was restless, irritable, and discontented, really a very young age. And, food and alcohol became the solution for me, and it solved my problem for a long time. And I want regeneration, and I love regeneration. Regeneration is like new tissue, new regrowth to replace the lost or injured tissue, and so every morning, and it's all contingent on my spiritual condition, I have to pray that God will protect me from myself, because I, through my thoughts, my actions, my words, my spiritual condition, my blind spots, and Saturday, I was in a resentment and a fear, and I worked it through in my mind. I asked God to remove it, but all of a sudden, I started smelling foods, and I had food thoughts, and I thought, oh my goodness, I know I need to write this out. I've got to take this further. I needed to write it out and do just like it says in the big book, and give it away to a recovered fellow and turn my thoughts to another. And every so often I go into this place where I start to minimize, and I can't do that. I do see the progression of the disease, and by God's grace, one day at a time, it'll be 9 years in January that I've been absent and recovered. And I was convinced that relapse is going to be what is all for me. And it is a condition that is very prevalent. But, the forward to the second edition says that I can have permanent recovery but it's through work and self-sacrifice for others. And I sometimes forget that. You know, I want to do all the other things, but it really is through work and self-sacrifice for others and that spiritual condition with God, my creator. So thank you so much. I pass.
Ooh, perfect timing. Lisa B. from South Carolina, Ken W.H., you're up next, followed by Donna K.
Thanks,
Ken.
Good morning, Rick. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. This finally getting really cementing or making rock solid the reality of step two as we're getting ready to move to step three, but not yet. Still at step two. And key word in step two for me is the insanity and power greater than myself. And that goes back to step one. So step one's still playing around in here because I had to agree to the premise that I'm nuts with food, that I was nuts. It was crazy. I did not behave in a normal or think in a normal pattern with food. And here we have this guy, and it's interesting to me that he's had this experience before. Essentially, he's gone through a whole lot of step work or anything else. He has surrendered, and God, his God, the God of his understanding, whom he decided that it wasn't for him to decide didn't exist, that this God did for him what he could not do for himself. And I noticed, and it's important for me to remember that this is in the passive voice where God had restored his sanity. He didn't restore his own sanity. He didn't come to his senses, so to speak. He was beaten into submission, and so was I. And I had to surrender. I had to do the first step to the best of my ability. I had to be ready to accept the fact that I needed a whole lot of help. And that sanity was out there, sanity with food, sound thinking with food. I had some sound thinking in other areas, not many, but I did. But this sound thinking with food was the restoration to sanity. I've had that. I've experienced that. It didn't happen when I fell out of bed on my knees the first time, but it has happened over time. And I think it's critical before step three even really has a chance that I have to understand that I'm powerless, that I can't fix myself, that God can and will, if he is sought, that will show up before step three, and accepting that. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Donna K., you're up next, followed by Sandy. Go ahead, Donna.
Good morning, everyone. Donna K. from Ohio. Wonderful reading this morning. Really glad to be able to share on it. Abstinent for probably it's now been 3 days. I'm coming out of a 3 month relapse. had a lot of loss and grief work going on, and unfortunately, I returned to my food for the soothing aspects of it. But I was so glad to be, you know, back on track. Grateful for my new sponsor. I have not had a magical, you know, overnight miracles either myself in my own recovery. My erosion of my program was very slow and slippery and very, just inch by inch. And but I do know that this is where I belong. Self-reliance is not going to work. I know that I can't do this alone. I need everyone's help, the program, but mostly my higher power's help in turning it over and accepting that I'm human and I can start over again. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'm looking forward to hearing everyone's input. Right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Donna K. from Ohio. Glad you're back with us. And Sandy, you're up next, followed by Chanel T. and Sandy, I didn't get the first initial of your last name, but you can include that and also your state. Go ahead, Sandy.
I thank you very much for your service. This is Sandy K. That's my last initial. And Sandy is with an E. I am calling from Florida. I'm so happy to be up so early this morning. I usually don't get up so early for the 7 o'clock meeting. I can relate in different ways to this paragraph. The first thing that struck me was the great revulsion has risen up in him. I remember my son, I think he was 3 or 4 at the time. I don't remember exactly. He's now 42. And he was having a birthday party in the house. And I had just come into program, you know, like within a few months before that. And I was cutting his cake. And I got some icing on my fingers. And I ran into the kitchen to wipe my fingers off. I mean, revulsion ran. I don't remember having an experienced revulsion like that since then. And I think it's because I know, and I knew soon after that, that even if I got something on my fingers, I would wash it off. Because I had been returned to sanity. In most areas of my life, but especially food. The other thing I want to comment on, and some other people have said that, is that very night years ago, it disappeared. Well, that very night for me took about 10 months, I think. It was over a period of time. It took me a long time to give up my self-will. It took me a long time to give up my control. But once I did, it was almost easy. And now I do think about food every once in a while, not often, but I'm not tempted. And I have stuff in the house that was left over from Tuesday, I think whenever Halloween was. And I had a friend that came in, and she said, well, I couldn't keep this in the house like that. I said, I don't even see it anymore. I am going to give it away, but I don't see it anymore. And that's only because of my spiritual experience with my higher power. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sandy K. from Florida. All right, Chanel T., you're up next, followed by Justin. Go ahead, Chanel.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. This is Chanel T. in Washington State. I'm a grateful and recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God today. You know, I did not tumble out of bed, and sometimes that's how things need to be for me. But in this case, I don't think it's a big surprise that I didn't tumble out of bed because I knew I was powerless by the time I crawled back here. At the end of 2022, and truly by the grace of God, got entirely abstinent January 18th of 2023. But I do only have today. I want to say that to any newcomers, anybody coming back. But the foundation, I really had a higher power. I already had one. I was sure I knew my higher power. But I really wasn't sure. Even though I believed and still believe that my higher power is all powerful, I wasn't sure that my higher power I call God would restore me to sanity, even though it's promised here in this book multiple times. I just wasn't sure. And frankly, I didn't really know what sanity meant because I was like, well, you know, I've lost the weight multiple times. And everywhere I was, I still had the same problem. I still had the same thoughts. I still had the same discomfort. So what's this sanity thing? What I had never had ever, and I had never been entirely abstinent before that date, I had never had serenity. I had never had the knowledge that, wow, it's Halloween, Christmas, you know, name a holiday. A lot of them have candy involved or something else. And I'm able to be around it and not be in it, face down in it. Neutrality. It's also meant more than that. But it's been a gradual process for me because I did not allow God into my food. I didn't allow God into my food until I was working the steps in January of 2023. And it was clear that I just didn't have any other options left because that's how thick-headed I am. I needed to feel that I had no other options left. That kind of powerlessness, that kind of, I am at the end of me. I am at the end of what science can do. I'm at the end of what religion, just for religiosity's sake, can do. I'm at the end of me. And so, you know what? I surrender. I surrender. Thank you. And the miracle happened, and it continues to happen for me every day. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. from the state of Washington, and Justin from North Carolina. Didn't get your first initial. You're up next, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, everybody. Justin C., recovered compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, recovered just for today, just for this moment, you know, and it's only by the grace of a power greater than myself that I choose to call God that I can say that and that I'm even here on this call this morning. And I appreciate all of you being here, Rick and Craig. I can relate to a lot of what has been shared. When I first came into this program, I had a lot of old ideas, a lot of preconceived notions about God, about what a spiritual experience might be and how I'm going to control getting it. And what I'm very thankful for is so many people sharing honestly what their experience was, sharing exactly what they have this morning this immediate experience isn't everyone. And also that I was pointed to, you know, Appendix 2, to the spiritual experience in the back of the book where they really hammer this point home, right? That for many of us, it is of the educational variety. And boy, I just had to keep coming back and just getting beaten down and beaten down and beaten down. And, you know, something else too that struck me this morning in reading this with, John Henry Fitzhugh Mayo being one of the stories in the back of the book. At the end of there is a solution. It says each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. You know, and that is just it. It is varied. It's not for me to comment on how anybody else, whatever road they have taken that has led to establishing a relationship with God. And I didn't have any sway over that either. It just had to unfold as it was supposed to. And for me, it was slowly over time and very painful, but that's what it took. You know, and what I'm so grateful for, as it has been shared this morning as well, is that for today, you know, God has restored the sanity and this revulsion that we talk about. Gosh, it is just, I am so grateful that I've experienced that. And I recognize that I have to continue to seek this relationship and deepen that relationship, my reliance upon God in order to continue that. So, very grateful for all of you, and with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Justin from North Carolina. Could you, is that C? Was it C as in Charlie, first initial, last name?
Yes, that's correct. C as in Charlie.
All right. Thank you, Justin C. from North Carolina. Okay. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter We Agnostics, the bottom of page 56, the fifth paragraph, beginning with, "Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place," ending with, "God had restored his sanity," on the next page. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. And who else would like to share today?
Donna M.
Didn't get a thing.
Donna M. G.
Okay, Donna M. And then who else was with Donna M.? I couldn't hear that one. And then I know there was somebody else.
Joanne
P. Roz
G.
Joanne P.
Nancy
yes.
R.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on a second. All right, Elena, I think I heard Elena. Hold on just a sec. So I've got Donna M., Joanne P., Nancy R., and Elena. Was there someone else that's been trying to get on that you didn't hear your name called?
Jane F.
Jane?
Yes.
And what's the first initial of your last name, Jane? Okay, well, all right. So Donna M., you're up next, followed by Joanne P. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And Bill makes many references to construction. And this one for the cornerstone, it's a key ingredient, a key part of the triumphant arch that he's building, that we build to the pathway to freedom. Freedom from the obsession of compulsive overeating. And I'm grateful today to be coming up to 4 3/4 years of recovery and to have this freedom to be walking on this pathway. It's an ongoing pathway. And it's an ongoing journey. And I'm grateful for that journey. But it starts with me being willing to believe. And today, I am so grateful to have faith because I saw it working in other people and I had to come to believe that it could work for me. But because I've seen it working over and over and over again in my own life today, I have the faith in this spiritual solution. And I'm just grateful to be on the line today to share, and I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And Joanne P., you're up next, followed by Nancy R. And just a reminder to include your location. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. So grateful to be here. Recovered and abstinent one day at a time by the grace of God. This paragraph talks about the cornerstone. To me, the cornerstone is living in conscious companionship with his creator, that last part of the sentence before that. And I'm just so thankful for God and my awareness of his presence in my life and for his presence in my life, for his grace and mercy and love and the gifts and the miracles, really, that have saved me and have helped me to be sane again, to restore my sanity to a degree. And it says here, save for a few brief moments of temptation, the thought of drink has never returned. That sentence speaks to me because entire abstinence is a challenge for me. I am a chronic relapser. I keep wanting to pick up, but by the grace of God, I don't go out. I don't binge. I just start all over again. I just keep coming back. And it is through self-examination. It's prayer and meditation every day. You know, working our steps, living in 10, 11, and 12, abandoning myself to my higher powers, surrendering. And as I heard someone say this week, with humility, to accept everyone as God sees them has helped me to, face life on life's terms and know that, I loved what I heard this morning. I do not know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And surrender and trust in Him is where it's at. So, thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. Nancy R., you're up next, followed by Elena C. Go ahead, Nancy.
Good morning. I'm now unmuted. Nancy R. in New York. Thank you, moderator Rick, for your service. I missed the beginning shares. Now it reminds me once again to hear the beginning. I know it was wonderful, and I will after. I was want to do when I wake up for the 30 minutes and connect with God and the meditation that I desperately need, and often do it 2 to 3 times a day, 30 minutes, as I'm learning now. But the cornerstone I wanted to share, the vicissitudes, I looked up the word vicissitude just now, and a change of circumstances, typically one that is unwelcome. And my cornerstone that has been fixed in place, regardless of anything that can shake it, anything unfortunate or painful, that is the desire and the hope. And I feel such a thrill in listening to everyone share, and in being a new sponsor. And this promise has been happening for me, of course, the revulsion, but the excitement of the nearness and connection to God, to my higher power, to becoming a new sponsor, to working with a new sponsee, to transparency of my being a new sponsor to my sponsee, almost moment to moment, feeling like I've learned so much as I've heard from everybody, from the sponsee, to wanting to take a break from sponsoring and then realizing after we hang up, my God, how I am transforming to the desire to keep wanting to get better and better. November 6th, I believe, will be 10 months of this new abstinence. November 6th is my brother's birthday, and a few days ago I was in a car with my brother who would take me to see my mother's grave. I many times told him that it didn't have to be now. We could wait till the spring, but I desperately wanted to ask my mother for prayer for me, as she told me that her mother told her when we go to the grave, we ask, it's selfish. She said, it's selfish. We ask our loved one to pray for us. And I had been connecting with my mother more and more through meditation and through her Yahrzeit candle, memorial candle, and through a constant desire. In the end, it was so important. My brother and I connected in a way that was brilliant and beautiful. That would be it. Okay. In the end, I will go to see my mother in the spring. My brother brought me back. In the end, he asked me if I forgave Mom. I said 100%. He hugged me and said, she forgives you 100%. And thank you for letting me share. And I thank everyone on this line. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy R. from New York. Elena C., you're up next, followed by Jane. Go ahead, Elena. Is there Elena out there? Maybe I misheard that. All right, we'll go to Jane and then check back and see if there's an Elena on the line. But Jane, I didn't get the first initial, your last name or where you're calling from. So, but you're up next.
All right. Well, thank you very much. My name is Jane S. S is in Sparks, and I'm from New Hampshire. And I am grateful to say that I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I've just finished my 12 steps, and I can't thank you all enough. Thank you for your service this morning, and the gentleman who started the word cleared away. I had to clear away my selfishness, my self-centeredness. I heard in a meeting yesterday, my ego was not my amigo, and that just set in. You know, I was 15 and a half years sober, and God gave me two drunk dreams in a row. And that's when I had no desire to drink. But you know what? I realized that he was trying to show me that I was treating food the same way and that I needed to respect it and honor it and let him take over. And so on July 1st of this year, I reengaged in this group. I got a sponsor. I called the sponsor. She said, "Do you have a big book?" I said, "Yes." We started reading. She gave me first assignment. She said, "Call me when you're done." I said, "I'll call you tomorrow morning at 8:30. And I did that for 10 days straight. And I just launched into this step work. And listening to this meeting and going on to Zoom meetings and just engaging. And it brought me to a relationship with God that I have never had in my life. And God has been leading me through the steps for the past 4 months. I got stuck kind of in, not stuck, God had me right where he wanted me to be. I can see it now in my amends process because I had to go deep. I had not cleared away the wreckage of my past, not all of it. I'd done a lot of work and I was resting on my laurels, but I had to get off the pity pot and I had to continue to do the work. And my amends journey took me to the seacoast of New Hampshire and then down to Florida and then through a hurricane and then back home again. And then God put a woman in my life in a beverage program where I shared how my obsession for food had been lifted. And she came up to me and asked me to help her. And now he put my first sponsee in my life. And it's like, I hear it in the meetings. There's a woman who says that God is a gentleman and he will step aside and let us take our woe back anytime we want. And I've been doing that for years and I can finally see it today. And so I surrender today. I give my will and my life in all areas of my life, everything, my family, my steps, my food, my amends, my recovery, my everything to God. And I set everything I think I know aside, and then I just do the day. And my life, I can't even begin to tell you what my life is like today. It's so beautiful. So I'm just very grateful to be here this morning, grateful for everyone's shares, and you help me so much every day, even though I haven't met a single one of you. But that's okay. We each know each other, and I love that. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
All right. Thank you, Jane from New Hampshire. Yep, so we're about out of time. I don't know that I heard Elena C. I thought I did. If you're there, Elena, you've got about a minute. If not, somebody else could take that final minute. All right, who else would like to just
Roz
have a
G.
minute?
Roz?
Yes,
I'll take a minute. Hi, good morning. I'm Roz G. Okay, thank you, recovered compulsive overeater. And I love what it says. He was overwhelmed by the conviction of the presence of God. This happened to me yesterday. It was about another issue. It was like, I guess it's too personal to say, but I was sitting in a place yesterday where I felt total conviction about an area in my life that I need to work on and do service in. And I cannot explain how heavy the feeling was because my pride, my ego, and got in the way of doing some service that was requested of me. And God spoke very, very strongly to me yesterday within myself, and it was infinite power and love. It still happens, you know, even with recovery, even with, you know, being in OA and doing the service for doing work for so long, I still, my ego gets in the way, and I thank God that I can be a fit spiritual condition to listen to God. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for your service, Becca.
All right, thank you, Roz G, and from California. All right. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, November 4th, 2024, is 21,883. That's 21,883. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, thank you. Still Chanel, still grateful and recovered in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your path. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.